And we had the praise team here. Oh, there's my voice. And as I thought about what I was going to talk about today, I thought, well, what can I say about chihuahuas? That was for your benefit. He asked me what I was talking about today. I told him I'm talking about chihuahuas. But as I thought about the 4th of July and we think about the sacrifices and the giving, there's a lot of different aspects of freedom that you can talk about. And one of the things as I was doing my research, I came across a thing, and it was about the Bob Hope shows when he would go out in the wars and do all the visiting of the troops and so on, and talking about the sacrifices that were made. And he says the one that got him the most was one time he was doing a show over in the islands. They were supposed to go to this other place, and they came to him and they said, could you stop at this island and do a show for the Marines there? They've never had a show, and tomorrow they're invading an island, or the day after tomorrow. So would it be possible for your people to stop? And so they did. They stopped on this little island in the middle of nowhere. 15,000 Marines were going to invade another island the next day, and they did a show for them. And what turned out to be was 60% of the soldiers that were there at that show were taken out the next day. 15,000 down to 4,000 left. And that was like, whoa. And it just struck me how much, in that realm of it, how much they gave. And it was how much they put forth. So that was one part of it I looked at. Then I looked at the other part of it. Got to look at the scriptural part of it. And when you look at the scriptures, from the very beginning, freedom was part of God's plan. If you look at Genesis 2:16, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, except for that one. But they had freedom to do whatever. They were not held accountable for sins. The scripture says they were innocent. They were free to do what they were doing. And so God set us free. And of course, they blew it, got kicked out of the garden. And after that, they got outside and they started sinning and do all this stuff. And again, God comes in with freedom all over the place. They get taken into Egypt and they're captive in Egypt. God sets them free, brings them out of Egypt. And they don't know what to do. And so God gives them the Ten Commandments. And people think, well, the Ten Commandments, they're reining them in. Not really. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are relational and they're smart. Think about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because anything else that you would put in the place of a god can't do anything. If you worship your car, it's going to rust and fall apart. If you worship your job, problems are going to be there. It's always going to in that line. And if you go down through all those things, if you follow that, if we follow the Ten Commandments, we would not need any military. We would not need any policemen. We wouldn't need private investigators. A lot of the health things would be done away with. If we followed that, we wouldn't need locks on the doors. Growing up in Wilson Lane up by Ogden, my neighbors didn't even have locks on their doors. They didn't have them in all the time that they lived there. They just trusted. And back in the dark ages when I was a kid, we never locked our cars. Never locked our cars. And so, we did that. But God always also set us free from internal stuff. David had lots of problems, and he went to the Lord all the time. And when he was in pain internally or fear or whatever, God sets you free. And it says, David said in Psalms 118, 5 and 6, in my anguish I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? God sets us free from fear. Even in the Old Testament, David relied on God, trusted God, and God set him free from fear, from torment, from all those things. And God will do the same for us. Or does the same for us, not will. And in that freedom, when we get into God's word, we find out the truth. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we know the truth, it will set us free. The truth about what? About God. The truth about Jesus Christ. The truth about our relationship with Him. The truth about our relationship with each other. All kinds of truths we'd learn. And when we find that, it sets us free. And John 8:36 says, "So if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed." And Galatians 5:13 says, "My brothers, you were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." There are scriptures that say, all things are possible to me, but not everything is beneficial. We're free. God has set us free to do anything. We're free. We're free to rob a bank. And then we're not free. We have that freedom. And so we can do that. And He says, don't use that freedom in a stupid way, because it'll just mess things up. And I don't know about you, but I know I mess things up on my own well enough that I'm in trouble. In Galatians 5:1, though, says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, so that we can have the freedom. When God frees us up from the worry and the trouble, what does that do? It frees us up to try things, to be able to try things for the Lord. You can try different stuff. When they went to Taiwan and started up the mission in the churches over there, it didn't always work, but they tried. And it frees us up to do things and not to worry about it, because we know that we have the freedom through the grace of Jesus Christ. And if we mess up, we mess up. And we mess up. We do that. And so Ephesians 3:12 says, "In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." With the freedom we have in Jesus Christ, we can approach God with confidence and freedom. We can't do that on our own, but Jesus has set us free to do what we need to do. Romans 8:1-2, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, how many of us are in Christ Jesus? I can say, I better see some hands, or we're really blowing it. Okay? "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death." Jesus Christ set us free from the law of sin and death. The law brings death. Grace and Jesus Christ bring life. Jesus, when He was getting ready to enter into His ministry, one day was in the sanctuary in the synagogue teaching, and they handed Him the scroll of Isaiah. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners." Now, that's in the Old Testament. That's Isaiah saying this is what's going to happen. Jesus' response is recorded in Luke. And He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He quotes Old Testament. But even in the Old Testament, God is giving us freedom. To do, to be. We have the freedom to not be here today. And some people aren't. Kay and Karina are up in the canyon having a family reunion. I used to do that stuff. Go camping. Don't do it anymore. Cots suck, you know. And it's just like, ugh. So, but we have freedom. But we need to not abuse it. I know there's times in my life when I did. I took advantage of that blessing I had to be able to do things. And it was like, I got myself in trouble. You know, I got myself in trouble and did stupid stuff financially. Oh, I was $250,000 in debt. I told you about that before. So 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, "Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak." How we live our life. People are watching what we do. They are watching what we do. And we can become a stumbling block for them, because they look at our lives and go, if that's what Christ does for you, I don't want it. If that's what he does for you, I don't want it. Now, does that mean that we shun people that blow it? No. That's why we're a church. People who blow it belong in the chairs. That's why you're here, right? Because we all blow it. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... That sounds like a good song, doesn't it? Oh, we're closing with it. Okay. Good. Read my mind. Now, I put Romans 8:12 in here in twice, so we're going to ignore the next Romans scripture. But we have all this freedom to do things. And like I said, we can mess things up. And we do a good job of it. And if we look at our nation today and the way that the world's been going, it's getting more and more messed up all the time. That's because we have the freedom that we can do it. But that's nothing that's new. That's nothing new. It was that way. It's been that way for years. The world got messed up lots of times in the things that they were doing and the things that were happening. In 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, it says, God is talking to the prophet there, and he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there was no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. Sounds like a good time to me. If my people who are called by my name, are we called by Christ's name? Are we called Christians? What does a Christian mean anyway? When it started in Antioch, they were first called Christians there. It was derogatory. It was a slang. It was an insult. You were being called a little Jesus or a little Christ. They were making fun of the Christians. But it says, if my people who are called by my name, that's us, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. It doesn't matter what political party's in charge. They're going to mess stuff up. We can't depend on a person or a political party. The only one we can rely on is God. And that's what he says here. If we will humble ourselves and turn away from the way we do things and pray and turn to God, then he will fix things. But you know what? It's not human nature to do that, is it? But then we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves. Because God listens even to this little group. There are churches that are 80,000, 20,000. Most of the churches in the world are this size. And our prayers are just as important as anybody else's. Our reading the word is just as important as for anybody else. Because we are the children of God. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We need to humble ourselves and pray. And let God heal our land and us. We need to get in the Word and find out everything that God gives us, all the freedom, all the blessings, because we don't tap into it enough. We don't tap into it enough. There's so much in there that I'm not aware of, and most people aren't, of what God is doing in our lives and has available for us if we will humble ourselves. When I was reading some scriptures last night, it was very convincing what they're doing. So freedom, yeah, we've got it. God gave it to us from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden where it started. And it's been a part. If you go in scripture and you look up freedom or free, 111 times. Freedom, like 50-something times throughout scriptures. It's mentioned in there many different times. And it has to do with humbling. But God's always giving us freedom. Always. We have the freedom to mess up. And we do. But we have God's grace, where God will pat us on the head and say, it's okay, dear. I knew you were going to make that mistake. Jesus took care of it. And you know what? It's not our sins that send us to hell. It's not recognizing that Jesus paid the price and not accepting it. That's why we have to go out and talk to people so they understand. Because I don't want my family to go to hell because they don't know that Jesus died for their sins. That's our calling. Go into all the world and make disciples. Are we doing it? 4th of July, fireworks, celebration of our freedom, our independence. That's what it's called also, Independence Day. Yeah, we got that a little wrong. We want to be independent, but we really need to depend on God, because God's the one that can fix things. God's the one that gave us salvation. Great. Love it. So I won't talk about chihuahuas. We'll just say, thank you, Lord, for everything. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for creation, that you didn't want a bunch of little robots running around, all looking alike, acting alike, walking in step with each other. You wanted us to be individuals. You wanted each one of us to walk in your light because we want to, because we know who you are. We know that you are our creator. We know that Jesus died for our sins on that cross. But more importantly, that he rose from the grave and sits on the throne and intercedes for us with you, so that when you look at us, you look through Jesus Christ and we look perfect to you. We thank you for your word that helps us, Lord, to draw closer to you, to understand you better, and to rejoice in you. Lord, help us in this confused time, because we are your children. We go by your name, and Lord, we're lifting it up to you in prayer. Bless this nation, that we will humble ourselves. Bless those people that are in leadership positions, Lord, that they will get over themselves if they have an attitude, and they will start thinking about really caring about people who are in need. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.